Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back here with you for our Survivor exit interview here today. And today we're going to be talking with the victim of the Mergatory vote. And that is going to be Josh Wilder, here voted out in the sixth episode of Survivor 44. So my conversation with Josh is coming up in just a minute. Of course, you can see my interview with Josh on our YouTube channel at robisawebsite.com/YouTube. You can also see where I talked with Stephen Fishback after we were reunited after a week apart when I was at the Raleigh live show last week. We got into everything from this vote, fun edition of Survivor Know-It-Alls from last night. Today, I will be talking with Karishma from Survivor Island of the Idols on our recap podcast. You can get your questions in for that show. Looking forward to catching back up with Karishma. And then Mari Forth is going to be on this week's Survivor Feedback Show. But first, we've got our conversation with Josh Wilder. I see he's on the line. Let's go ahead and bring him in. Hey, Josh, how are you? Rob Cesternino here.
Hi, Rob. So good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Disappointed to see you go out of the game, but I got so many questions for you about your time because you've been very busy over these last couple of episodes.
Yes, I have. I've been loving it. It's been entertaining.
A lot going on. So were you fully expecting Jam Jam to go home at that tribal council that we saw in the episode last night, or were you starting to get concerned it might be you?
So I was concerned it was me when we went to six and we lost, right? Because you have a group of 12 or 14, however many were there, and now there's only six of you. So of course, immediately I was concerned. And yes, I thought it was going to be Jam.
Okay. So can you discuss your complicated relationship with Jam Jam in the game?
So yeah, absolutely. When I got to Tika, or even before that, you know, seeing he was a POC, gay man, same age, husband, just like me, I wanted to work with him immediately. And when that didn't come into fruition, I think emotionally speaking, because I'm an emotional player, learning that about myself, that I was upset and I took it too far. And he's right. I did extend it because I wanted to work with him and he didn't want to work with me. So I felt hurt.
Can you, going back to your time at Tika, is there any ways that you wish that you would have handled your time there differently?
Absolutely. So immediately when we found out that we made Mergatory, I wish I would have talked to them more, got them on my side, told them my fake idol was fake. And I knew that they knew that, but just making a whole like, ha ha, just kidding. Like, let's work together. Let's do this. And I just wish we were more cohesive.
You know, we ended last week's episode at a point where it looked like you were going to tribal council. You certainly were feeling the heat. Jeff comes in and says, okay, no tribal council tonight. What was the rest of that night like?
So it was, honestly, we went straight to bed because we were just so exhausted and just like thinking about the game and everything. So for me, I went to sleep. It was just very, very chill. It was calming, honestly, because we weren't really talking much. And we were just at war all the time. So at that point in time, like we were saying before, I wish I would have talked more to them and like, okay, let's do this together. I was just excited to get back to Soka, you know, be with other people and tell them about Carol and Jam Jam working together and say like, don't trust them or get them on our side so we can get Ratsu out, you know, stay Soka strong. But yeah.
So Carolyn came back from the journey last week and she had been there with Danny and Brandon and you kind of got linked in with this so-called meat brigade that they were talking about. How much did that impact your game, Josh?
Huge. When she went on that journey, we were together. Carolyn and I, we were working together. When she got back, she changed. She was acting completely different towards me and I felt that vibe. And I knew, I'm like, okay, she doesn't trust me. She thinks I'm with Danny and Brandon and all the big guys. And I was not. I was not. And so that's when I brought out my fake idol because that's all I had. And I just wish I wouldn't have shown them. Obviously, it fell to pieces. It's hilarious. But yeah, when she got back, everything changed. And I was like, well, I'm in trouble.
Okay, so the fake idol ends up being a pretty big part of what's going on at the merge because a lot of people are now talking about what you have. Can you just talk a little bit about your decision to keep up that lie that you had something going into the Mergatory?
Right. So I did that to create confusion, create chaos, get the heat off of my back. If I told one person what I really had, and that was Jamie, she was the only one who knew it was fake that I actually told. But she didn't believe me when I said that. And then telling Brandon that I got something in the cage, what I wanted was people to give me information. So if I tell certain things to certain people, maybe I can get like who has what, who's working with who, give me the tea of the different tribes. And causing the chaos, maybe people will just like ignore me. I'm like, okay, maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. We can work with him, maybe we can't. Let's vote out JamJam. He's an easy vote. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I was just trying to create confusion and chaos.
So for all the talk of, okay, Josh could be part of this meat brigade, did you find when you got to the merge that those guys were talking to you about trying to get something going together with the people that might be more physical threats?
No, they didn't. And honestly, I was trying to stay away from that.
Yeah.
Because I knew if we were a part of that, we're going to be first to go. My classic, right? You get all the big guys out first. And I was like, I don't want to be a part of that. But if they want me to be a part of that, I'll tell them whatever they need to do. And then we can just get them off later. But no, they didn't come up to me. No one talked to me about that. I was trying to talk to Brandon a little bit and work with him. But yeah, no one really, not from the meat brigade did.
So you had this really great conversation in the episode last night with JamJam when you grabbed him and you said, look at me, we're going to work together. I'm not going to write your name down. But you did both end up writing each other's names down. Were you genuine in that conversation and circumstances changed?
Yes. Like Heidi was saying, 2 seconds, it was plan A, 2 seconds, plan B, 2 seconds later, plan C. In that moment, when I grabbed his face, I remember that like yesterday, I wanted to work with him. I went back to when I first got to Tika, I wanted to work with him so bad, but I knew we had this tumultuous history and we didn't trust each other, which rightfully so. So I wanted to write down Kane's name and work together with him and move forward with Carolyn and Jam at that time. And like I said before, if I would have just told him I had a fake idol and we were still at that beach that night with Tika, we could have came together. But because of everything that was going on, it just landed back to Jam.
So I'm interested to know from your perspective, how surprised were you to see the Soka tribe members actively working against you once you got to the merge when you were so excited to get back to them?
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought we were a lot closer than before because we did talk about being Soka strong while at Soka. But knowing it's now a facade, it makes sense they did because I am a threat and they should have got me out. But I wish we could have remained so strong and then maybe brought in Tika and got Ratu out. So, yeah, exactly.
It really seemed like that Matt and Franny were sort of leading the charge at the merge feast of, okay, we have to deal with Josh. Did you get any sort of a sense that they were actively working against you?
No. Actually, Matt and I were, we talked a lot. That wasn't on the edit. But we were talking and it was kind of like, keep your friends close, keep your enemies closer. I knew Franny was not out for me actively, but I knew she was strategic. She knew every little thing about every little episode, about every little person of Survivor. So I knew, okay, she's thinking, she's smart. And maybe the sense I was talking to Matt threatened her. I don't know what he was with that, but yeah. I wanted to work with her and then, you know, work like till the end and then get her out. But I mean, she wanted to get me out immediately. She knew I was a threat.
So when we saw Matt go to the birdcage and he found the idol that was in the birdcage, we saw in the episode then that you were one of the people that he shared that with, that he had found the idol. Yet at the conversation, you know, he is talking about how, you know, potentially you have the idol from the birdcage at Soka. That's what people believed from what I understand. Why does Matt think that you have the idol when he thinks that he found the idol?
Yeah, he thought that his was fake at that point. We had a conversation that didn't make the air. He's like, do you have the real idol? I'm like, no, I'm working with you. I would tell you. I told him the truth too. When I got back, I was like, okay, we're Soka strong. I told them all the tea. Franny, Manny, we're just calling Matt and Franny, mm-hmm. everything. I wanted to bring them back in. So it was surprising that he thought I had the real idol and his was fake. I'm like, no, like I would tell you that. So I think immediately that kind of set alarms in his head and then went from there to take me down.
Okay. We also saw Danny vote against you, where in the vote with Claire, it seemed like that you and Danny were very much on the same page. Was that a surprise for you?
Kinda, sort of. Like Danny, I was kind of working with, I wasn't. He was kind of my meat shield at that point. I was just trying to stay as small as possible. Claire and I were actually a lot closer than what they showed. Like she was my number one in the beginning. However, once I kind of got air that she was talking to Franny a little bit more and telling her stuff that only I told her, then it was a little bit easier to get out because she was sitting out and everything. But I kind of wish that we would have worked together a little bit more and went further. So it's not a surprise that Danny wrote my name down. I mean, like I said, he knew I was a threat too. So it is what it is.
Can we go back to the Sara Tribal Council that I'm really interested to know in terms of like how that all came together? Would you have played your idol for Carolyn?
No, that was my idol. I'm coming to a new beach from a different tribe during a swap. That would make no sense, right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell her what I need to tell her to get her on my side. When we first got to Tika, everyone was super kumbaya. How are you? Where are you from? Blah, blah, blah. But Sara was asking me specific questions. Are you a surgeon? What's your scar about? What's your tattoo about? And knowing now, she's trying to take the heat off herself, I think, because she was left out of the boat previously and then put it on me. So at that point, I was like, okay, she doesn't trust me. We need to get her out, right? And then seeing that Carolyn was on the outs, or it seemed like she was on the outs, I brought Carolyn in by saying like, hey, they're talking about you. Jam Jam and Sara would always wake up a little bit earlier to go talk. And so I used that to my advantage and told Carolyn, I woke her up one night and was like, hey, they're talking about you. Like, we need to, you know, get her out. I don't really trust her. And knowing that Carolyn wanted to get Sara out anyway, it's kind of helped in my favor. So that's when I decided to tell her, okay, can I trust you? I have an idol. And I was trying to get information for her. Maybe she'll give me more information, but she did not. But it worked out in the end in that regard.
So Josh, it was such a big deal in that episode about Sara asking you about what do you really do for a living and then them trying to poke holes in your story. But I'm interested to know for future players, what are the ways that lying about your job help your game and also hurt your game besides what we saw on the show?
So as a surgeon, I'm used to being controlled, being a leader. I didn't want to come up too aggressive. Being a black gay man, I'm already looked at as aggressive. I'm looked at as a threat. I'm strong. So I was trying to make myself look as small as possible. And I was trying to cover up what I did with why I looked the way I did. So saying I'm a personal trainer covers those two stories. I don't look as big. I don't look like I'm strategic. I don't look like I'm very, you know, out to get anybody. Being a surgeon, you're thought of like you don't need the money. I thought it was going to hurt me in the end. So I thought it was going to put a target. So I lied as much as I could to make myself look smaller.
Can you go back? Yeah, thank you very much for that. So after the tribal council where Sara went home, and you touched on this a little bit, but I really thought that you and Carolyn seemed like that you were going to be on the same page. But it didn't really, from the episode, seem like that you two were in lockstep after voting out Sara. That is, do I have that wrong, or were you closer than we thought after Sara?
So I thought we were good. Carolyn and I were good up until she went with Brandon and Dan. When she got back, everything changed. Her attitude, just the way she looked at me, her body language, I felt the vibe immediately. And so when she started thinking I was on the meat brigade, I'm like, I'm in trouble. I got to do something. And that's when I said, I have a fake idol. Got to vote for each other. Sorry. So yeah, I thought we were really, really, really good up until she left the journey.
Was there anybody else that you had a connection with from the merged tribe that we didn't really get to see in the episode?
Lauren, a little bit. Like, she actually was the one who told me, like, I think they're coming for you. Like, you should do something about it. And so red flags started going off in my head. And that's why I kind of started talking and doing whatever I could. But we had a really good conversation the night before. And I just felt like I couldn't trust her because I just met her. And she was telling me this information that, oh, they're coming from me. Like, are you lying to me? Is this strategy? What's happening? But yeah, we were really close. We talked a lot out there for sure.
Okay, Josh, we've covered so much ground here today. Is there anything else that you want the fans of Survivor to know about your time in the game?
I mean, geez. So I had a kidney transplant, born with Prion-Willi syndrome. I don't have a stomach due to cancer. I was doing this with a lot of issues and it was hard. Like, I was passing out. My stomach was hurting a lot at the time. And that's why I had a grimace on my face. So I was just trying to stay as healthy as possible to get through this. And I just want everyone to know that, you know, having chronic conditions like what I have doesn't stop you from doing what you want to do. You can still play the best game in the world, which is Survivor, like everybody else, and do it that much better. So I just want everyone to know who have chronic conditions that go for gold. Yeah. Go hike that mountain. Go do Survivor. Apply. You can do this. I never thought I could do this growing up. And I'm here and it's amazing. Dream come true.
Okay. Well, Josh, thank you for sharing all that. And it was really fun to have you as part of this season, and all the best outside the show. Okay.
Thanks, Rob.
Okay, take care.
Talk to you soon.
All right, bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. Josh Wilder. And really, Josh did have covered a lot of ground, got to probably more questions, I think, than maybe any other exit interview in the past. So great job by Josh to take us through all of that. And, you know, Josh is dealing with, he's been through so much and dealing with a lot, certainly very difficult circumstances on Survivor. And so appreciate him sharing all that with us. Of course, a man who is always there to share wonderful trivia questions about the history of Survivor. He is going to be here with us in 1 minute when we get back from this break. Jordan Kalish is coming up next. All right, everybody, and we are ready for This Week in Survivor History with a man who not only has earned a spot in the merge, but has earned a spot in your heart over the years. Here he is. It's Jordan Kalish. Jordo, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. Thank you for those nice words. I think that, you know, earning the merge is great, but earning the hearts, that not everyone can earn the hearts.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently I've earned the hearts.
Yes, I know that you are partial to Mergatory because it reminds you of Joe Tory, so that they are, of course, related. How is Mergatory like Joe Tory?
Well, Mergatory is like Joe Torre. Well, Joe Torre is kind of an old school guy. Mergatory is a new school thing. But I think that the one thing that everybody loves about both is the fact that we all get to experience them together as a fan base. The Yankee fans got to always watch Joe Torre. We don't always love the decisions that they make around Mergatory, but we still love to watch as a Survivor family.
Big part of the Survivor dynasty for sure, Mergatory. All right. So, Jordan, we're going to get into This Week in Survivor History. What do you have up your sleeve here today in the first week of April of Survivor History?
First week of April and first week where post the North Carolina live show, which sounded like it was so much fun. I wish I could have been there.
Yeah, we had a really fun group out there in North Carolina. It wasn't like as crazy as some of the New York shows that we've done in the past, or probably as the Toronto one that we have coming up in a couple of weeks. But yeah, really nice size crowd and everybody was in a great mood. So I had a lot of fun in Raleigh.
Yes, I did like it. I like the panel. They did a great job. I think the live shows sometimes not always the best podcast, but I think that this time around it was a good podcast. And I think everyone had good takes. Good to hear from everyone.
Okay. Thank you, Jordan. Job. Yeah, appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. Of course. We are first week of April, and I am going to play a game that I don't think we've ever played before. I was trying to think of how can I change
new
things
game
up
alert!
A little bit on the
new
twist.
Game alert.
New game. Okay, so this game in Survivor Worlds Apart, Will Sims once promised that he would get sandwiches
yes.
for his tribe.
Yeah.
Yes. So this is he never delivered.
Great friend
week,
of the podcast, Will Sims too.
he loves Art Rob as a podcast.
Never said he wanted to beat me up for anything I ever said on the podcast.
No, he would never
definitely,
do that. Will Sims
definitely
would never
did
do
not
that.
Confront me at a Survivor reunion and say that he wanted to kick my butt.
No, I always like to channel
and stare at me menacingly throughout the night. That never happened.
So this game we are channeling his energy. He never delivered on the sandwiches for his tribe, but I am delivering the Survivor sandwich game. I am going to give you two contestants and the season that they played on. You have to tell me which player was voted out between those two players. So it's going to be one player, the player who was voted out this week in Survivor history.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you the season. I'm going to give you two players. And there was one tribal council in between the tribal, which those two players were voted out. You have to tell me who was voted out between. Okay. The first one, we're going to Survivor Panama. We have Nick and we have Sally. Who got voted out between Nick and Sally?
Between Nick and Sally. Could that be the great Austin Cardi? Cardi B?
Austin, Cardi B in the house. Cardi A is the correct answer. You get 2 points. Austin, Cardi. Yeah, Nick, Austin, and Sally all won in a row. And then Lamina wouldn't go out until Terry at the final three after that point.
Mm-hmm.
So great job. You start out with 2 points. You get 2 points for a correct answer. You lose a point for an incorrect answer. How does that sound?
Okay, fine, but rules? I didn't get an incorrect answer. I didn't lose a point.
No, you got 2 points. You got two
yes.
points. But in the rare case that you were to be Cartier, it was absolutely correct. We are now going to Survivor
Makers
Fiji.
Makers of fine watches also.
Yes, Cartier watches, sponsor of this podcast.
Yeah, for appearing on This Week in Survivor History, Jordan, you'll be receiving a beautiful Cartier watch.
If I get a Cartier watch for every time I appeared on This Week in Survivor History, my arms would be covered in Cartier rods. We'd be so far down the forearm. We'd have to add so many links to that watch.
However, it is a watch that is designed by Austin Carty. So that is just careful what you wish for.
Yeah, Austin Carty,
author
Survivor
Austin
Legend.
Carty. Yes,
and yes, he can tell the time as well. Mm-hmm. And
he knows what time it is.
Of course, it's and now it's Survivor Fiji time.
Yeah, his timepiece isn't an hourglass, okay? Even though he's
still on the left,
merge
mood.
All right, I'm sorry, Jordan. I don't mean to interrupt. What is question number two?
Okay, this is good. We've gotten off the rails a little bit, but that's okay. That happens all the time on this podcast.
Is anybody listening? That's what I'm trying to find out.
As long as you get a couple of people, that's all you need. Survivor Fiji, who got voted out between Rod?
Jordan, get it together.
All right, yay, this is your fault. This is your fault this time. Usually it's my fault when I lose control, but this was your fault. Fiji, between Rocky and Michelle Yee.
Between Rocky and Michelle Yee, I would say, I believe that it was, I believe it was Lisi Linares.
Lisi Linares, Tidy Whitey's is correct. You are a perfect 2 for 2, which means you have 4 points. Mm-hmm. We're going to go to Heroes versus Villains. Who got voted out between?
Yeah,
Boston,
we're not
going to
talk about Lisi for a minute.
I mean, we can. Do you want to talk about Lisi?
Yeah. I was listening to the listening today to the Succession deep dive podcast, and I believe that somebody on the podcast, where it was, of course, Grace Leader, Dr. Amanda Rabinowitz, and Mike Bloom, they used the phrase used and abused. And I believe, is that a lyric from the Lisi Linares hit song, Tidy Whiteys? And I was unclear if it was a reference to that.
I would assume it is. I don't think I've ever heard used and abused.
But nobody stopped down to acknowledge it. But I was like, oh, Lisi reference.
Yeah, I think anytime you can get a Lisi reference, you should ask them. Let's tweet them after the podcast. I thought you were going to say you heard a lot about Lisi on the 2.5 hour episode of B&B that I did with Mike and Liana recently.
No, but I'll tell you what, I got a million copyright strikes on the YouTube channel.
I know. Well, hey, that's we knew the risk going in, Rob. Mm-hmm. We knew the risk.
Yeah,
and we are going to now go to Heroes versus Villains. Who got voted out between Boston Rob and Courtney?
Between Rob and Courtney, that would be, did the Heroes go back to a tribal council? I'm going to guess that it was Tyson, and then it was Rob, and then I'm going to say maybe did Tom Westman go out there?
No, Tom Westman, unfortunately, was a couple episodes before that. So you were going to lose a point. You now have.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is
3 points?
It was Coach.
It was Coach. So yeah, once Boston Rob goes out, the Heroes do not the Villains do not win again, and mm-hmm. the Villains the Villains go to 2 consecutive tribals where Coach and Courtney are voted out. Yes, that is that was the previous tribal where Boston Rob was voted out. We're going to go to Survivor Ghost Island. Mm-hmm. Who got voted out between James Lim and Chris Noble?
Oh, I believe that was the great pre-merge villain, Bradley Clygie.
Bradley Clygie is correct. Voted out right before the merge. Chris Noble, of course, was the merge boot.
We
so
love
you're
we love Bradley
five.
Clygie. Miss him.
Yes, like Bradley.
Good job, 30. Guys.
Yeah, thanks, Bradley.
I love how that Bradley still has so many entries on the soundboard. And we're going to do one more of these. We're going to go to Survivor 42, very recent. Who got voted out between Swathi and Lydia?
Between Swathi and Lydia, I believe, that happened to be a man who came up on the live show the other night between, we talked about, you know, people losing votes and folks getting their shoulder dislocated. And that would be none other than a friend of the pod, Daniel Strunk.
Daniel Uptown Strunk you up. That is correct. You have 7 points, Daniel Strunk. So now we're going to get to the second part of this game, which I think is the harder part of this game.
Oh,
this round is a little harder. Yeah. So this time, this was the first one. It's still the sandwich game, but instead of the bread, Rob, I'm going to give you the meat. You need to tell me who was voted out directly before and directly after the player that I mentioned.
Okay.
So
is this like a meat brigade?
This is kind of like a meat brigade. I'm giving you the meat. You have to give me the bread. It's Passover, so I can't really eat the bread. Yeah, we do. So Survivor Marquesas, who was voted directly before and directly after Gina Cruz?
Okay, before Gina Cruz was, of course, the great Gabe. And then after Gina Cruz would be none other than the aforementioned Boston Rob Mariano.
That is correct. You get 2 points. It was Gabriel and Boston Rob. You are not only one wrong answer, and it was the heroes versus villains question.
And you know what Gina Cruz was famous for, right?
She was the watermelon seed spitting champion or something.
Seeds, baby.
Yeah,
she invented seeds, legend. Baby.
I don't know if she invented seeds, baby. She invented
that's
maybe
what she
spitting
would say
seeds
when she would spit at, them.
She spit the seeds at the babies, and that's what
at
she
babies.
Invented,
yeah, oh my God.
I hope not. She's had like a very good career post Survivor, so I don't think there's any.
She has. What does she do?
Is she on the news, or is that Tammy Leitner?
That's Tammy Leitner. Confused. Yeah, she's that's not Tammy, Gina okay. News.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is fun. This is a good one. Yeah. So we're going to Survivor Micronesia. We have who was voted out before and after Eliza Orlins, former Manhattan District Attorney candidate. Okay. Eliza Orlins.
Okay, before and after Eliza. Now, this is
Micronesia.
Micronesia. Okay. Yes. So I believe, if I had to say, I believe it was. Did we get back-to-back Vanuatus? I'm gonna say that it was Amy, not Amy Cruz. That would be from Big Brother 3. No relation to Gina. Amy Cusack, and then I believe Ozzy is on the other side. Ozzy. Correct, so. Speaking of the meat, he's got plenty of interesting photos on his Twitter.
You've been checking out Ozzy's Twitter.
I mean, look, he's in my timeline. Should I follow?
I follow Ozzy on Twitter. He's a very good follow. Talks a lot about current events and he posts a picture now and again.
Yeah,
classic Ozzy.
Yeah,
the effing stick is real and spectacular. Mm. And we are going to go now to, we have two more. We're going to go first to Cagayan, where Sarah Lucina was voted out. Who got voted out before and after Sarah Lucina?
In which of her seasons?
Cagayan.
Okay. Before Cagayan. Okay. So I think
really only got voted out in one season because Winners at War, she was a fire boot, which is that not, is that, I guess that's sort of voted out, but not really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So before her in Cagayan, I believe it was a friend of the pod, Alexis Maxwell. And then I believe after her is going to be Morgan.
So we have Morgan.
Two beauties.
Yes, two beauties. It was a beauty sandwich. Sarah Lucina in the middle. Alexis and Morgan are correct. Alexis, a very, very legendary Survivor tweeter. So you're at 13 points. I don't think you could lose this game, even if you get this one wrong. We're going to go to Survivor Winners at War.
Yeah.
Adam Klein, who was voted out before and after Adam Klein, former Twitch contestant.
Okay, so I believe prior to Adam Klein is, of course, one of the great co-hosts of the Purple Pants Podcast Survivor News Edition, Wendell Holland. And then on the other side of Adam, this is the trickier one. I'm going to say it was Tyson.
So you're guessing two people.
Two people on the podcast
is
on
a
RJP.
Co-host of your co-host, and the other one is a co-host of yours, and you were correct on both. You finished the game with 15 points, almost a perfect score. Great job. You're a winner, and because you're a winner, we're not going to do a verbal rebus. We're going to do something that I like to call the Amazon look back, baby.
Amazon look back.
Get in the time machine.
New game, new segment alert.
This one's not a game. It's just looking back at the season. So on April 3rd, 2003, the episode was Sleeping with the Enemy. Your buddy, Dave Johnson.
Oh, yeah. Bangarang.
Voted out. Mm-hmm. Very sad. Voted out at the final nine. I was watching an interview that was recorded pregame with Dave Johnson saying that the girl love him because he is a scientist. So do you remember
true?
Who
is
Dave
that what
voted
Carson
for
says also?
On the way out the door.
Who did Dave vote for?
I don't think Carson said
Dave.
Who did Dave vote for?
Dave threw a
not
vote
for the score
on. I don't know what he was trying to go for. I'm going to say of all the folks there and people that he didn't want to alienate, I'm going to guess he threw a vote on Mateo.
Mateo is correct. And how many other people voted for Matt at the Tribal Council besides Dave Johnson?
None.
That is correct. 8-1 vote. Pretty cut and clear. So Dave Johnson goes home. Rob, you were there. You were there. I think that people would say that you had a lot to do with some of the votes on that season. Who was there any other plan? Was there any other plan in place?
No,
instead of Dave
I would
Johnson?
Say
who
that could,
who
was probably the most like open and shut, boring vote of the entire season, where there was not another serious name even floated. Probably during that time was like where a lot of the other like chess piece moving was happening, because it really sets the stage once you get through that vote where, you know, Dina is coming up with her plans, Alex is coming up with his plans, I'm trying to play the middle, but the Dave vote was just such an open and shut case, and Dave did not help himself by, like, you know, his campaigning. He was like the most athletic person out there. It was like such an easy vote to just, okay, Dave is going to be a threat to win challenges, we should just take him out. He was aligned with Roger and Butch, so there was no, I think that maybe Heidi might have been pushing a little bit, like, but like his plan was like, hey, I'm going to get in good with Heidi and maybe she can campaign for me. And I'm like, eh, another reason you can go.
Yeah, Dave, and unfortunately, his former sleepover mate, Jenna Maresca, was not able to say, not unfortunately. I think we got a pretty good season out of that. So Dave Johnson, no other names even being floated around. He was the clear boot. He may have been a rocket scientist,
open
but he was
case.
Out of there. Yes, yeah. He was.
Yeah.
So bye, Dave.
Should have played a shot in the dark.
And he should have. Maybe if he had a shot in the dark, maybe he would have. He probably did. He know he was going, or was he blindsided?
Yeah. Very much so. Everybody knew. Okay. It was, again, okay. There was no surprise. I don't know if in the episode they tried to play it like that there was like a decoy target or somebody was like trying to get something going. But yeah, it was very much an open and shut case. Most boring vote.
Been a while
of the
since I watched that episode. Yeah, I mean, I think the last time I watched that episode, maybe because Matt gets the vote, maybe they tried to like make it seem like he could have been out. Mm-hmm. And I think, is this the episode
he might be sharpening the machete and during this episode, yeah.
But yeah, Matt was there to stay. He had some good protection out there on the island. So good job getting Dave out of the game.
Hey, always
sets
have
up
protection.
A really fun post merge.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Gotta wear protection. Okay.
Jordan, easy. Take it easy. All right. Jordan,
the immunity idol. If he won the immunity idol, he wouldn't have been voted out. Rob.
There was no immunity.
Get your head
idol.
Out of the gutter.
Necklace. It was a necklace. Okay. All right. Yeah. Jordan, all right. So you might have lost the Cartier watch there at the end, but still a fun time. Where could people keep up with you?
You could follow me at Jordan Kalish on Twitter and on Instagram if you would like.
How's the Insta going?
About the Yankees. The Insta, I don't really do so much Insta. I'll do a little Insta.
Okay.
If you want to see like my food or my dogs, that's usually the Insta is the place
right,
to go.
But
I got to be more active on Instagram. I've made a vow to be more active on Instagram, and I haven't lived up to it. Mm-hmm. It was my New Year's resolution, and it hasn't happened.
Oh boy. I mean, there's a low bar also.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to do a New Year's resolution that would actually make me have to do something.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That'd be crazy. That'd be cuckoo talk.
All right. Well, Jordan, thank you so much, and we'll see you next week. Okay.
Sounds good. Talk to you next week.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Fun this week in Survivor history. Of course, I mean, that's redundant, but a very fun one with Jordan here today. We are going to be getting set to talk with Karishma here on this week's recap podcast. And if you want to get ahead of the curve and get your feedback questions in, Mari Forth is going to be joining me on Monday. Rob is at website.com/voicemail or robs.website.com/survivor questions. Thank you so much for joining us here today. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.